Welcome back to the Nindy Nexus podcast. This week in episode 2, we're going to be talking about a one-man wolf pack, cleaning up after serial killers, other reviews, and much, much more. Hello and welcome back to the Nindy Nexus podcast. I am your host, Rob, and today I am joined again by Mikey.
Hey, what's going on, guys? Hey, Rob.
Hello, sir. Good to have you again. And Luke. Hello, Luke.
Hey, guys. Welcome back to the podcast.
And today we're also joined by Bobby, who's a new guy. Bobby, hello.
Hi. Thanks for having me.
As is our tradition, well, I guess you can't really establish tradition with one episode, but Bobby, could you tell us a little bit about what you're going to be doing for the website and what you're looking forward to?
Sure. I'm focusing on reviews, opinion pieces, and conducting interviews for the website.
The last episode, we were kind of talking about the games that we were interested in, most excited about for 2018. What kind of games are you most excited about for 2018, Bobby?
Oh, definitely Wargroove. I saw that they just postponed the release date again, but it seems like something that is going to be really good, and Chucklefish can do no wrong.
Yeah, I was really disappointed to see that delay, because that is a game that I'm really excited about, too. So hopefully it's just because they need to, like, iron things out, and it's not because they're like, oh crap, something's not working really well. So yeah, really excited about that too.
Yeah, same here. Hopefully it's just to make sure that the game's running well and they can polish it up a bit more.
So today we have a lot to talk about. First of all, I did want to kind of touch base on the fact that Outlast came out of nowhere the other day. Bobby, you wrote a quick little article about it, but wow, literally had like no release date at all, and then all of a sudden it was on the eShop. So has anybody tried the actual game before? Has anybody played on PC? Has anybody played on Switch yet?
I played it on PS4. I actually streamed it for Twitch for a while. I did a playthrough of that, and the game honestly was scary as crap. I'll watch my language. I forget that this is supposed to be PG-13. But I did enjoy it. It was a fun game. It was just pretty scary. And then I also did the Whistleblower DLC, which was pretty intense. That one's pretty messed up. So, but it's definitely worth a purchase, I think. I'm not sure about it being on the Switch, only because I feel like that's kind of a game you have to sit down and play. And with it being portable, it's kind of harder to really get into the game and really get scared like you used to be.
Yeah, I played that game on a PC, or I played Outlast 2 on PC with my girlfriend, and boy, that game is scarier than it lets on.
Yeah, I think that's the general sentiment, is that it's scary. So I'm not usually someone who's a gamer that likes scary stuff. I've never actually really tried it, I think. I think I tried an older game and just wasn't that scared and was like, these scary games, they're not really that scary. So maybe I should try Outlast and see if it really is scary.
Yeah, that game will put you to the test.
So I did play a little bit of Outlast as well on the PS4 when I had my PS4, but nothing beats PT, even though it wasn't a full-on game. After playing that, pretty much everything's pretty mild compared to that. I don't know if you guys remember that one, but that one, I actually threw down my controller at one point just out of pure pure fright, and I've never been like that.
What is PT? What was that actually called?
PT, that's what it was called. It was just abbreviations, and it stood for, they released it later. It was kind of a mystery, but it stood for playable teaser, I believe, and it was Hideo Kojima's work. He was looking to basically put out a trailer for an upcoming, Silent Hill game a long time ago. Just a bunch of speculation, bunch of news going around, and then this thing came out of nowhere, and everybody's playing it. There was like no direction given on what you had to do. Everything was very cryptic, and you were just running around in circles in a hallway, essentially, and all these crazy things started happening. At one point, like, everything turns red, like things are flying around, like it starts getting like all psychedelic, and it was intense. Definitely one of the scariest games I've played, and it wasn't even a full game.
Going back to what you said about dropping your controller, that's the one reason why I don't want to get Outlast yet, is I'm scared that I'm going to throw my Switch across the room in handheld.
Yeah, that's a whole different level, isn't it? Now it's not about throwing your controller, it's about throwing your entire console.
I can definitely see Nintendo doing that on purpose so that they have to sell more Switch consoles.
They should use it in their marketing. Scary enough to make you throw your console.
Yeah, and then no one would buy it. I don't want to spend $300 again. But yeah, that's definitely, it's cool. I'm really excited to see a game like that come out. And there's a couple of them that have come out lately, like Layers of Fear, which I know we're reviewing right now, and Outlast. And then there's another one that I was skimming through the store and I saw, and I was like, wow, these are just, you know, there are a lot of horror games coming out.
I think it's called The Coma, I'm pretty sure, but I'm actually going to look at that game, because I've always been a horror buff. So I'm pretty interested in like the horror games. So I'll probably take a look at that one eventually.
Sweet. Luke can be our horror guy. That and Amy. And Amy will be introduced in our next episode. So she's our Layers of Fear reviewer right now.
I was just going to say she's calling dibs on like all the horror games. So I don't know.
Right. So I wanted to move on to another topic. Where recently Nintendo actually had end user reviews on their website briefly. So basically had... like what we've been asking for, I think everybody's been asking for since the Switch came out, but then they came down like 3 days later. Anybody see that?
Yeah, I saw that for a day, and I'm pretty sure one of their games, probably 1-2 Switch or something, got bad reviews, and they probably took it down because of that.
That's hilarious. They were like, no, we can't do this. It's not ready yet. That's our issue. They just didn't want to see all their games get downvoted. But yeah, no, there's something that I really want to see. I know that Steam's user rating system isn't perfect, but I definitely use it when I look to games, and especially if there's an overwhelming negative or any sort of negativity that's really pervasive on a game, it definitely, you know, causes me to pause and take a look and watch videos and stuff that maybe I hadn't or wouldn't have done before. So those user reviews are really important to me.
Yeah, and the weird thing about it was that it came out just on their website and it didn't even launch on the Switch. It just came unannounced on their website. And then they took it down within 3 days, so it's not like it made much of a difference.
I got a question on those. Was it like Steam where it showed if they actually had the game or how many hours they've put into the game? Because that's the one thing about the Steam reviews that I kind of take them with a grain of salt. Because if they give a less than ideal review for a game, but then they put in like 2,000 hours into it, I kind of, you know, I don't know if I necessarily believe. Just because they put so much time into the game. So I've seen a lot of those actually, but if I see something like that, I definitely take a second look at it and just check out all the reviews or more reviews to get a better idea.
It wasn't up long enough for me to notice, so I'm not entirely sure.
They were just the generic, like out of 5 stars, it was 4.5 out of 5 stars through like 600 reviews. It wasn't nearly as intensive as Steam, so... I'm hoping that it was just sort of like, all right, let's put the system in place and then refine it before we actually release it. I mean, like Bobby said, it could be that they just were like, oh my God, no, our games are getting horrible reviews. Let's pull this down and pretend like we need to redo this.
I hope they were just testing it for a Switch update, and I really hope they bring themes to that Switch update as well.
Yeah, there's so much that we really want. I know a lot of Switch owners want that. And there's a bunch of UI issues that they want to see fixed. And I'd really like to see Netflix and YouTube and all these other apps too. So I'm hoping that the next update brings some pretty good stuff, or pretty significant stuff too.
I just want to say I actually did my first article on the website about this. So if you guys want to head over to Nindy Nexus and read it, you totally could.
Way to plug the website there, Luke. Good job. And in fact, let's move on to the website a little bit here. We recently had you review Faye, Luke. I wanted to talk a little bit about your thoughts on it. And I know that there's the review on the site, but maybe you could go into a little bit about what you thought and what you enjoyed most about Faye. And I've been playing it, so I'm happy to include some of my thoughts too.
The trailer instantly hooked me. I'm a huge fan of Monsters and Men. So when I watched the trailer and it's talking about if you can hear the forest speak and stuff, and then of Monsters and Men comes on in the background, and I was just sold right then and there. Plus, it's just a beautiful game overall. The trailer really doesn't do it justice. Once you start getting in and start, you know, singing to the animals, connecting, exploring, you really start to realize how beautiful the world that they've built is. And it just really, really entices you and engrosses you in the game itself.
Yeah, I wasn't sure what to actually expect from gameplay. And I'm kind of digging the whole like song thing where you're basically acquiring new powers through songs. I just was not expecting that. And it has like that Metroidvania feel to it because of that, because you're acquiring new skills that allow you to go and do other new things. So, but the song thing is just really unique and I like it a lot. And whatever it is that you are, he's like part cute and part like demon. I don't know what he is, but he's, I don't know. He's fun to play as because he's just like this weird little thing.
Well, I'm going to go off folklore, and Fae is fairy in like Norwegian, Scandinavian countries. So I'm assuming you're kind of like some weird fairy forest creature. But have you beat the game at all yet?
No, I just acquired my fourth song. So I think that's halfway.
There's a pretty, I don't want to say plot twist because there's not really a story, but it's definitely a surprise for me at the end when you kind of learn who the silent ones are, and you're just kind of like, what the hell? But it's pretty cool. I mean, it was definitely a good game, definitely worth the price. So
yeah, I look forward to finishing it. It's a game that I have a really hard time in general finishing games because I'm like ADD. And as soon as I start to get like maybe halfway, three quarters of the way through a game, I'm like, there's other cool games. I'm going to go play those. But Fae is a game that I've kept coming back to because it's actually really good for short gameplay sessions. And, you know, there's a lot, you can get a lot done in a short amount of time. And I appreciate that about Fae. And plus the atmosphere, the graphics, they're all pretty unique and they're worth looking at. So I've come back to it and I think I'll actually beat it, which would be, you know, pretty good for me.
I was going to ask, I saw the trailers and it looked really pretty. How does it look on the Switch?
I played in both docked and handheld, and I gotta say, it looks pretty amazing, honestly. I haven't like watched any videos in comparison of it like releasing on PS4 or Xbox, so I can't really tell you how it compares to them. But I know personally, I played it on the Switch, docked and handheld, like I said, and it was just gorgeous the whole time. So I don't think I had any kind of frame drops or any kind of anything like that. So, I mean, it was pretty great.
I mean, I haven't seen any differences at all when I've seen some of the comparison videos from like a PS4 to the Switched handheld because it's you know, because the resolution's maybe smaller, but the screen's so much smaller on the Switch that it's really hard to tell if there's any differences at all. So it's a beautiful game. I really like it. So what rating did you give Fae?
I gave it an 87 out of 100.
Yeah, it's well worth that. I think there's actually been some sort of weird mixedness to the reviews out there. I'm surprised by that because I think from the, you know, 5 or 6 hours I've put into Fae, I've really enjoyed it. So, and I'm someone who's usually pretty critical of games. And for some of those reviews to come out on IGN and stuff where, you know, they basically panned it, I was just really surprised by that, saying it was generic. And I just don't see generic in that game. So glad you enjoyed it. And I'm glad you gave it that rating because I think it's deserved. Let's move on to SlimeSan with Bobby. I know SlimeSan, you've played it a bit, Bobby, or you've beaten it?
I have not beaten it yet. I think I'm on World 2 or World 3. And it's a really interesting game, actually. I'm really surprised because I knew it was good and I've seen the devs really interact with community well. But the music and the colors in this game are ridiculous.
So can you tell me a little bit about what it is? Because I'm unfamiliar with SlimeSan. I've seen some of the screenshots, but I don't really know what the deal is.
So SlimeSan is similar to like a Super Meat Boy or Celeste type game. It's like a really difficult platformer, but it's instead of playing as like a piece of meat or a person, you're playing as this little slime that was devoured by this worm, and you're basically working your way through the intestines. And so the enemies are like little bugs inside of him or the acid from the stomach, and it's a really weird concept to speak about, but in the game it makes a ton of sense.
Yeah, that's cool. I love that. Now, okay, I'm totally I'm excited about this now. All right, cool. So, who developed it? I don't even know. Like, is this a small team or?
Yeah, it's a small team. Fabraz, I think I'm pronouncing that correctly, is the ones who developed it.
Very cool. I think that you'll have to report more on that as you get through it because that's a game. That's a concept that I think is really cool. So I'll have to check that out.
And hey, real quick, I know that the update just dropped for it too. I didn't see the notes on what exactly changed. Did they add content or change up anything in the game? Or is it just some bug fixes or what was going on with that?
Oh, it's a whole like DLC package that they added to the game for free, actually.
Oh, that's awesome. I love when games add on stuff and, you know, just like Mario did with the Luigi's Balloon World. Coming out of so many games and titles and developers that have been seemingly so greedy in recent news, it's nice to see some of these devs, just giving out things for free, like supporting the game. And it gives me confidence for the future, especially on Switch.
That's why I think indies have a good, they're like one ahead. They're one head above like AAA studios right now, especially AAA studios like EA. Like they know they have such a big fan base that people are going to buy their games no matter what. Whereas indie people, they really have to prove that they really care and are passionate about the game, and they want people to keep playing it because they want to build that fan base so they can become a successful developing company.
For sure. I think that's something that indies do better regardless. Even with the indies that are, you know, more established, they just do it better than AAA studios. Like AAA studios, you want to just nickel and dime you for everything, where indies, they're out for the love of it. They also, I mean, of course they want to make money, but you know, they're more passionate about their projects. They're more involved. They're more, you know, in depth with them. And I think that that leads them to want them to want to improve them. And some of those, a lot of those improvements end up being free, which I think is great.
Kind of like us.
Hey, it's like we have something in common with them.
I just want to say, though, that's not dissing like AAA companies, because I do believe like a lot of them are very passionate about their games. Like The Witcher 3, that was a very well-made game, and you definitely had to be passionate about what you were creating. But, you know, I just use EA because everyone's just kind of on the hate train with EA right now. But they did publish Fae, which is awesome. They published it for Zoinks, which is the indie developer who is actually based out of Sweden. So that was pretty cool for them.
I like that initiative too. Like EA basically has this like new like pseudo label to publish these indies that wouldn't normally have the ability to publish themselves, or maybe just don't have as much money. And I think that worked in Fae's favor because it felt almost AAA in its presentation. So it really worked out for them. And obviously the advertising and all that stuff was much better for a game like that because of EA's involvement. So very cool stuff.
Yeah, and on the content updates, it actually looks like Slime Sand's getting like two full DLCs for free on the Switch.
Luke, you made a really good point. I think that's something that the indies do so well, and it's good to see, especially for the Switch. So, all right, I'll move on to my impressions right now. I've been playing Floor Kids. I picked up Floor Kids. It's something I've kind of looked at for a while, and I've thought, you know what, that could be something I could enjoy in short spurts. And I always liked, you guys ever played the Parappa the Rapper games back in the day? I know Bobby didn't because he's young, but anybody know Parappa the Rapper?
Yeah, I remember that game. I didn't play a whole lot of it because even I was a little bit young for that one when it first came out. But I do remember playing, like I did with so many other games, playing the demo in the store, you know, like at Walmarts and stuff. And that game, for whatever reason, I was always intrigued by it. I had no idea what I was doing, but they had like those beats going on. They had the colorful kind of cartoony graphics. And I was all about it every time I had the chance to play it at the store.
Yeah. And that's exactly what Floor Kids reminded me of. It has a very similar approach. Like obviously the cartoon graphics, it's very beat oriented. In fact, I really like the music. I'm not even someone who really kind of likes whatever it is, house or whatever music it is. I couldn't tell you cause I'm too old, but The music in the game is really cool. It's very oriented towards, you know, I guess it's breakdancing. I think that's what it's called. It's called breakdancing, right?
Yep. B-boys.
Yeah. So it's very breakdancing oriented. And a lot of it is timing, button pressing, right? And just getting the moves very similar to like, even like almost a Tony Hawk, because like you're trying to pull off moves during the beats. And then there's times where you have to actually hit buttons at the same time at the right time, and it's pretty cool. I enjoy it, and I've played it for maybe 2 or 3 hours, and I thought it was just something that would be fun to, you know, when you've got a few minutes to knock out a dance, go for it. So if it's something that I think anyone's on the fence about, I'd definitely check it out.
Is it like a Just Dance game, or is it more like a rhythm game, like where you have to, I'm trying to think, like Final Fantasy? I can't think of any actual rhythm games right now.
Yeah, like Final Fantasy Rhythm Theater, I think is what it's called. But
yeah,
it's definitely a rhythm. It's definitely a rhythm game. So it's much less Just Dance and much more rhythm theater, but with breakdancing and kids.
Fuck, breakdancing kids, man. Sign me up.
Right. We also had Mikey release quite the mouthful on the Lone Wolf review. He knocked that one out of the park. It was quite the long one, but a very, very good read too. Mikey, you want to tell us a little bit about the Lone Wolf?
Yeah. I'll try and keep my description now a little shorter than the review itself. I was looking at the template or whatever, where it shows you how many characters were in the review, and yeah, I hit 10,000 characters, which is quite a bit longer than most of the other stuff on the site. But I felt like it just had to be done because there's so much backstory to that game. I mean, the original story by Joe Deaver was written back in the early 80s. It was published in 1984. And so it's literally had, you know, decades of lore built into it, and trying to take that and adapt it into a game for the current generation, I feel like there's just so much to catch up on. However, you don't necessarily need to know everything to enjoy the game, which was nice. If you are a fan of the choose your own adventure genre, you know, where you read through a story and then every, you know, few pages or every so often a choice will pop up and you have, you know, three or four options. And depending on what option you choose, that'll influence the rest of the story or how you proceed through the game. Anybody who's a fan of that, I definitely recommend it, highly recommend it. I have reviewed a few games now. I think that's my fourth one on the site, if I remember correctly. It's probably my favorite so far. I've put about 10 hours into it, give or take. And I think I'm about halfway through right now. And there's so much going on. And it seems like every time I think I've experienced all the mechanics of the game, it just pops up with something new. I mean, the story portion of it is just, like I said, it's the choose your own adventure. You're reading pages. But then what happens is it goes from this storybook, and it looks like kind of like an old text, like you're reading like a scroll or something, but then it transforms into a digital fight. You know, when you get to the combat scenes, it turns into a playable fight. So instead of just kind of watching, you know, some numbers go or some dice roll or, you know, watching some RNG combat go down, you're actually in control and you get to use combos and use different items and different strategies and how you want to take down your opponent. So it gets really in depth. And if you want to know more about it, I got plenty to read in my review. So go check that out. And if it sounds interesting to you, I definitely recommend it. It's $14.99.
Mikey, how deep is the character customization? Like, is it like true role playing where you can like sync points into strength and dexterity and stuff like that?
So as far as character customization, you get to choose what type of weapon class you want to specialize in, but that doesn't mean to say you have to stick with that weapon. You can get different weapons throughout the game. And then as far as stats are concerned, you get to influence that a little bit in the beginning. And then dependent on your choices that you make throughout each portion or each chapter of the story, it will assign points to those stats. So say if you take the more aggressive options, it'll add stat points to your strength. Or if you take the more methodical action, you know, where you set up like a trap or you lurk in the shadows and wait for the right timing, you know, to strike your opponent, then it'll add, you know, to a different stat. And so just it all is all based upon what choices you make and how you proceed through the story. And I go into that in pretty good length throughout the review, and it's refreshing, honestly. There's not a lot of games that I can honestly say that your choices actually matter. I think the last time I played a game like that, and it's not a choose your own adventure, but is Mass Effect 3. So not the most recent one, but 3, that was out on PS3, I believe. That one was the last time that I got that sense of, I guess, that sense of purpose or that sense of meaning from the choices that you make.
Awesome. Yeah, no, that's not even a game I would normally check out, because honestly, I love RPGs, but I didn't know how I felt about like a choose your own adventure game. But now that you've, you know, really enjoyed that one, I'm about to check it out. What did you give it? What was the rating you gave it?
I ended up giving it an 88 out of 100.
88 out of 100. Sounds good, man. I appreciate that. And definitely a game worth checking out if you guys were maybe on the fence about that one too. Damn it, damn it, damn it. All right, next up, we're going to be talking about Wheels of Aurelia with Luke. Luke, you reviewed it and you kind of seemed a little lukewarm about it. You mind telling me a little bit about what's going on with that one?
It had a good idea. I touched a lot on it in the review. It's just kind of a lot of different things going on. Like, you it's cool in the sense that there's so many different endings, and for people who like collecting things or unlocking every ending, it's going to be good for them. I mean, it's a pretty cheap game. It's only $10, not on sale. I didn't really like it. I beat it about four times, and then I decided I was going to write a review because it just got so repetitive in the beginning. And like I said in the review, you can start at different towns and stuff to kind of try to weave your way into a new branch and to unlock a new ending. But at the end of the day, it wasn't very engaging as I thought it was. Like, the reviews kind of hyped me up, and I was kind of hyped up off of a Netflix series I watched beforehand about these two people who pretty much run away from home and go on a road trip. So it kind of was my inspiration and kind of hoping that was kind of like that. But I did buy it on sale. It was worth it, I think, on sale. I probably won't ever play it again, honestly. It just had a lot of things that could have been done better. Like, I respect the developer because he was branching out with ideas, but it's definitely something that needs more polish.
Yeah, and that kind of came through in your review. So it's another game I probably wouldn't have necessarily been drawn to. Now I'm not really as drawn to it, even if I would have been. But yeah, your review is great. It definitely made me feel like it's a game that had a lot of great concepts but didn't really fulfill them, which is unfortunate. But, you know, not every game can be good, or else we wouldn't know what good was.
Right. And I mean, I bought it when it was on sale, so I got it for $6. And for $6, I feel like I got kind of my money's worth out of it. I mean, I spent about 2 hours on it, and I feel like that's kind of okay. I mean, that's about $3 an hour. I don't really put that into, like, work perspective, like, oh, I make $3 an hour. But I definitely think it was worth it just to kind of try. Like I said, it was fun the initial two, but then I got stuck on the third ending. Like, I got the third ending, and then I tried to get another one, and I ended up getting the same ending a couple times, and then I was just like, yeah, whatever.
Would you recommend it to anybody?
Yeah. I mean, like I said, if it was on a good sale, if it was like half off or something and it was like $4.99, I definitely would say give it a try. I mean, worst case scenario, you're out $5. It could definitely pique some people's interest. And like I said, with people who like to beat games that have multiple endings, it's definitely something that they could, I mean, they don't really have an achievement system on the Switch, so there's not really any kind of drive to really get all 16 endings. But in your mind, you know, as a completionist, you'd be like, oh yeah, I totally beat that game and got all 16 endings. I put the time in. And I was looking on how long to beat after I beat it a couple times, because that first playthrough, I beat it in like 20 minutes. And I was like, oh, I guess that was it. So they're super short spurts, and it is good to play. Like, it would be good if you were just needed a break or something at work and you were trying to do something on your Switch. You could definitely probably do a whole playthrough. But yeah, I mean, if it was on sale and you're a completionist and really are interested with it, like, definitely read more reviews and look on videos and then really kind of decide for yourself.
Awesome. Cool. Thanks, Luke. And you gave that, what was the rating you gave that one to?
I like how you told him that he gave a lukewarm review.
Yes. I'm glad you picked up on that.
We're good with the puns over here.
So I gave it a 68 out of 100 just for, like I said, I mean, it's definitely a game that could use some polish, but it was interesting at first. And like I said, I did buy it on sale. So it's definitely a game, you know, if it has a decent sale, I'd definitely take a look at it just for the general public.
Next up is Serial Cleaner with Bobby. That's a much different game, Serial Cleaner, than Killer.
Yeah, this game is not, that's the point of the game, actually, is that you're not the serial killer, but you're the guy who cleans up after the serial killer.
That's an awesome premise. Please tell me more.
I know, I thought it was an amazing premise. It takes place in the 70s, and there are like a lot of cultural references to the 70s, which is great. It's the humor's from the 70s. The music is really like groovy and really fun from the 70s. And it's actually a lot funnier and a lot more morbid than I thought it'd be. It basically plays out like a Hotline Miami style game from the top down. It's strategy, so you run around, make sure you don't get caught by the police officers. It's actually way more challenging than I thought it would be, but it's in a good way. It makes you think about how to beat each level, and it was a lot of fun to play.
So I just want to hop in real fast. So you said it was like Hotline Miami, like, because I played that game on the Vita and I absolutely adored it. So is it something you would recommend me buying?
Oh, absolutely. It's basically a Hotline Miami after credits scene. Like, this is what they'd play at the end of the movie that is Hotline Miami, is someone cleaning up after the fact.
Right. So I just killed all these people. Now in this game, I'm going to clean them all up.
Exactly.
I'm already in love. Yes, I'm totally adding this to my wish list. We're going to have a full review from Bobby too, so be sure to check that out. Obviously, it sounds like it's going to be pretty positive, but
yeah, I would definitely recommend this game to most people.
Excellent. Next up, we have Mikey with Earth Wars. So tell me a little bit about Earth Wars, because it looks like a pretty interesting game, Mikey.
You know what it was? I had a good time with it. And that was, I believe, my second indie game that I've had. It's from 108 Studios. I believe they're a Japanese studio, if I remember correctly. And this game just came out of nowhere. I hadn't heard of it, but apparently it came out for Steam and other platforms. And I want to say it's probably the first game that I've seen that's actually cheaper on the eShop for Switch than it is for any other platform out there. So that's a huge plus right there. Normally, you know, we have people talking about or making fun of, you know, what they call the Switch tax, you know, just because it's coming to Switch. And now, you know, it, whether it's digital or physical, they just assume that it's going to be more. But this one came in at $4.50, which is probably one of the cheapest games on the eShop, and you get the full game for it. It's definitely fun to play. It's, I guess, more like a 2.5D graphic style. So it's kind of like Octopath Traveler in a way, where you get the side scrolling, but the background changes perspective as you move. So, you know, you get that sense of depth. You get the foreground, the middle ground, and then the background, and everything's kind of moving with you. And so it's pretty button masher, not gonna lie, but it's fun. They add some RPG elements into it where you can, you know, raise levels. The more missions you do, you get to customize and craft weapons and armor, and everything displays on your character, on your avatar. So anytime you equip a new weapon or a new piece of armor or an accessory, you see it right then and there. And it may be kind of cheesy, I don't know about you guys, but I love seeing that, you know, when I get some new sword and then it's ridiculously disproportionate. It's, you know, bigger than your whole body, but you're just wielding it like it doesn't weigh anything and you're just destroying aliens. And it's definitely a fun game.
I saw that it got a lot of buzz because it was really cheap on the Switch. Would you say it's worth it for the price?
100%. Yeah, definitely worth it.
I was just curious too. Is the game basically side scrolling and then you're going through and you're like, you're playing through levels and are you able to like replay those levels to build your character up and improve them? How does that system work?
Yeah, it's actually a good question. So a little unique, you are essentially reporting to like your boss. So you're kind of like a secret agent. You work for some task force, you know, some elite task force that's given the job to take out these aliens that have basically taken over the planet. It's kind of a post-apocalyptic vibe to it. And so you get to choose from a list of missions. They vary in difficulty and in length. And basically you go through it, you complete whatever task that you need to. Sometimes it's like rescuing somebody. Sometimes it's just killing all the monsters. Sometimes it's locating a certain area in the level. Either way, once you're done, at the end, you get a rating. So they give you a score, you know, and it's a letter-based score. So you can get, you know, A, B, C. And if you get the top score, it's S, you know, so it's pretty similar to a lot of games that grade like that. And so if you don't get the score you want, you're able to go back in and improve your score if you'd like. I didn't replay any levels personally. I was just, you know, trying to see how far I could get. And it's relatively easy. I don't want to say it's an easy game, but it's relatively easy as long as you're mixing up your combos and you're utilizing all the different skills and attacks that you're able to do. The directional buttons and the different attacks will cause you to do different types of attacks. So what might normally be like just a regular slash attack, if you jump and press, you know, a different direction, it may cause you to do like a flip or slash in a different direction, or, you know, slash upwards to launch enemies into the air, things like that. So it's definitely got a good variety.
How long is this game approximately?
So I didn't complete it. I've probably put, again, about 10 hours into it, give or take. I feel like that's a fair amount of time to get a pretty good grasp on, you know, how you feel about the game and get a fair way into the game if you haven't finished it. But I feel like there's a lot more to go. So definitely worth the time. You know, the value versus the dollars is good.
Excellent. Yeah, that's a game I'll have to add to my wish list as well. Too many games. I already had a big giant backlog, and I just feel like every time you guys put out a review that I'm like, hey, that sounds like a game I'd enjoy, I just add to that incredibly large backlog.
I feel like with this industry, it's kind of hard because now we're writing reviews for games, so we want to try to get newer games that are out, but then we read a review. Like I read Earth Wars and I was like, oh, I want to play that game. And then I read his, you know, and then I read his Lone Wolf one. And I was like, oh man, I got to get that game. And then I'm read, you know, if I didn't have Stardew Valley, I read Bonnie's, I would have bought Stardew Valley again. I've bought that game 3 times and it's just kind of hard because we want to get this content out for you. But then we read reviews and we're like, oh man, we should totally play that game too.
I didn't realize how much of a problem that would be until I started writing reviews and I realized, dang, I'm never going to get through my backlog at this point.
Right. I guess there's, it's an incentive not to have a backlog anymore. Just only buy games that you know you're going to review. And that way you can just sort of just keep your eye on the prize, I guess. Keep your eye on the content. Anyway, we did want to talk about the birthday. Did you know it's someone's birthday, guys?
I don't think it's mine yet.
I thought I smelled some cake.
Yeah, that would be the Switch's birthday, which is coming up very soon. I wanted to kind of touch base about, or just maybe just discuss a little bit about what we thought would happen when we... Did you guys pick it up first thing? Did any of you guys buy the Switch from the very get-go?
Yeah, I pre-ordered it probably in January, and I was so lucky to be able to find one. But yeah, I've had this thing for almost a year now, and I can... I've played this console the most out of anyone that I've ever had, I think.
I got mine about a month after it came out. Just randomly, I saw online that it was going to be at a Toys R Us. So I was like, you know what? I'll stop by since I wake up early and I'll check out the line, you know, see what it's like. And sure enough, it was probably 6:30 in the morning, give or take. And there was about 5 people in line. So I was like, let me stop by and see if anybody knows how many consoles they have. And somebody, I guess, had stopped by the night prior and they said they had about 15 consoles to give out. So I was like, you know, I'll stick around, see what it's like. And I'm glad I did.
I actually got mine in August. So a couple months afterwards, it's actually a funny story. So I knew the local GameStop was going to be getting some in a shipment. Like I called them, I went down a couple times, but my boss was actually out on vacation in Vegas. So I was really supposed to be at work the whole time. But I ended up taking early lunches 2 days in a row to get there before the shipment did at GameStop to ensure that I got a Switch. And I did on the second day. I got the Neon bundle. So I was pretty stoked with that. Went home and booted that shit up real fast.
I'm actually in the same boat with Bobby. I pre-ordered it. I think it was in January when Amazon originally had their pre-orders. And I originally had pre-ordered 2, but Amazon canceled my second one, knowing that I was going to be a scalper, I'm sure. But I had a feeling that Switch would be really popular, so I bought 2, and I'm glad I did. It's I'll have to echo Bobby's sentiment. It's easily the best console I think I've ever owned, and I've owned them all. And that's not to say that I'm like super cool. I've just literally owned every console since I can remember walking back in the Nintendo Entertainment System days. So I'm in love with this thing, and I'm glad we're doing this because I want to. Like I need to speak about my passion about this thing.
Yeah, I totally agree. I got lucky with pre-ordering mine because I got my dad who works at Walmart to pre-order it for me. But in the end, I ended up getting 3 other people to get one, and I even bought one for my girlfriend. So it's really been an impact.
Yeah, and I think the great thing about the Switch is I had a feeling going into it that it would be good, that it would definitely be a better system than the Wii U. And I do think that it's pretty cool that the Wii U kind of like progressed into the Switch. It's very clear that the Switch took a lot of inspiration from the Wii U, but I don't think anyone had any idea how amazingly this thing would do and how well it would sell and how well it would be supported. And I think that is easily the best part about it, is that not only is it a great system and that it basically fulfilled the promise that it had, but it's doing way better sales-wise and library-wise than I could have ever imagined a year ago.
Oh, yeah, definitely. It's actually the number one selling console of all time, I believe, at this point, even better than the Wii. And I actually did a review, or not a review, but an article, rather, on the Switch's birthday. That was actually the first one I put out. And if you guys are interested in hearing my take on that, feel free to take a look at that. I didn't want to take the approach that I saw other people posting online, you know, going over the amount of games that it had and, you know, all this other stuff. I wanted to get to the basics. You know, what did the Switch bring that everybody was waiting for? And one of those things was couch co-op. That was so huge for me. I think that's probably the biggest thing that drew me to the Switch, that you can just take off a controller, a Joy-Con, give it to your buddy, and there you go. I mean, you don't need anything else. That's incredible.
When I watched the Switch trailers, you know, before it came out, and they had Karen taking the Switch to the party, I was like, no one's really going to do that. But then I realized, you go to Reddit and you read all these stories like, oh my God, I felt like I was in a Switch commercial today. I took my Switch to the hospital, and in the lunchroom, I got a Mario Kart competition going on. And it's just like, wow, like everything Nintendo said in that commercial was like pretty much legit.
I mean, I bring mine to school sometimes and I'll end up playing with half my class just swapping off remotes on Mario Kart.
Oh yeah, I bring mine to work every day and I play it on my lunch. And it's perfect. I mean, the fact that you can just put it in sleep mode, like literally mid anything in the game, is the other huge thing for me. Back on the different things that people say that the Switch has done for them, I've seen so many ridiculous things. Pretty much everything up to Switch saving people's lives, the Switch, figuring out. I just saw one the other day on Reddit, Switch helped someone realize they had some kind of rare disease or something because of the Joy-Con vibrating in their hand. Like, obviously that's not the norm. That's not the point of it, but something like that to happen, it's funny, but it's awesome. You know, I'm glad they were able to get that figured out and taken care of.
Yeah. He actually ended up having cancer in his hand. Like, he had a tumor in his hand and they found out it was cancerous. And I guess he found out through the vibrations because it hurt him so bad that he should get it checked out, and sure enough, it saved his life.
That's like when Reddit saved that guy's life from carbon monoxide poisoning.
Yeah, Reddit's pretty cool that way. And then also totally terrible in other ways. But no, yeah, I think that's great. It's really cool. There's so many cool stories that I totally agree that I thought Nintendo was completely out of their mind. And I'm like, oh my God, there's no way we're going to be doing that. And yeah, there's been times where my wife and I will sit in bed and I'll just put the Switch little screen right there beside us and we'll play around a Mario Kart. I just never expected to be able to do something like that, and it's really cool.
One thing I want to talk about real fast. I actually did take the Switch up camping with my family, and that was just awesome to sit there and play the Switch by a campfire and play Mario Kart with my family.
I think one of the things we undervalue a lot too is the fact that we can play the Switch on the toilet. I think we don't mentioned that enough, and I think it's an important part of the community.
Absolutely, and I mentioned that in the last podcast that I can play Rocket League on the toilet now and in bed, and I definitely think that should be a selling point. If you don't have a Switch, you can play any game on the toilet.
Yeah, Mikey made that pretty clear last podcast. I think he mentioned that a few times, actually. So yeah, no, that's a huge selling point for me, and it's definitely where I'll echo Mikey's sentiment on that one, that's a lot of my playtime, maybe too much.
Well, that's why I'm getting Outlast now. So at least if I ever get scared and crab myself, I can at least be on the toilet.
Perfect. I literally thought of that joke this morning. I was thinking I was going to say it, but I was like, nah, that's too cheesy. I won't worry about it. But I'm glad you did. So
leave it to the kid.
Well, I think it was great. So anyway, I did want to, before we wrap things up, I wanted to give a shout out to Ready Player 4. He's a YouTube guy that's just started his own channel, and he really liked what we were doing and sort of kind of helped us spread the word a little bit. He's been retweeting all of our stuff, and it's just really cool of him. We're a big fan of what he's doing too. Totally understand that you got to get started somewhere. So he's only got 50 subscribers, but definitely on his way towards the up and up. So if you guys are checking out, want to check out like a Nindy oriented YouTube channel that kind of does some unboxings and stuff like that for Nintendo products, check out Ready Player 4, which I'm sure he'll continue getting better and better. So thanks to you, and thanks to everybody who's listening. Do you guys have any parting thoughts? Mikey, do you have parting thoughts?
Just, the usual. Just a big thank you to everybody who took the time to listen to us ramble on and, just show love for the Switch and everything, you know, all the new games that are coming out. You know, we really appreciate it. And that's why, you know, it's part of the reason, not the only reason, but part of the reason why my reviews are so long. So people who, you know, want a little more than just that copy paste, you know, here's the game, here's the graphics, here's my review. They want something fleshed out, something that someone actually took the time, enjoyed the game, and enjoyed writing the review, wants to read that, you know, that's what it's there for. So thank you guys.
Hey, and Bobby, thanks for joining us. I hope to see you more often and hear from you more often. But did you have any parting thoughts too?
Yeah, I just want to say thank you guys again for having me, and thank you for letting me join this team, because it's been a lot of fun. I know it's only been a few days, but I've really enjoyed the time that I've had here, and I'm really excited to keep writing reviews and playing more in indie games.
Yeah, we're happy to have you, so thanks for being here. And Luke, last but not least, Luke, you, say something.
I just want to say thanks as well. I mean, I know we're kind of talking it up, but I do want to say thanks for everyone who's kind of supporting us so far. Also, just stay frosty and keep up the good work, everyone.
I like it. That's going to be your thing. Stay frosty.
Anyways, it's better than hell yeah.
It is. I try to limit that this time.
Does that mean we can get sponsored by Wendy's?
Also, I just want to say one more thing. We missed having Bonnie on the podcast this time, but she'll be around next time. So shout out to her.
Right. And we're actually going to have a few more people, some new people coming through. We're going to have a little rotation to kind of see who enjoys the podcast most and kind of find our voices and stuff. So I like everybody's other comments about just being really appreciative that everybody's here. And stay tuned as we'll have a new podcast coming soon. Thanks for listening, guys. This was the Nindie Nexus podcast, and we'll talk to you guys next time. See you.